our Thanksgiving service here, our bluegrass service, is one of our rituals at Church of the Redeemer. Each year, we look at exactly the same text. And so this morning, if you would turn your attention with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. If you don't have a Bible with you, it is printed in the worship guide. Let's read. This is the origin of Thanksgiving, okay? I know Lincoln instituted the National Day here in North America, but this is the origin of the pattern of Christian Thanksgiving that led to what we do this week. Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning verse 1. This is God speaking. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out and in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you will eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart will be lifted up. And you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware, lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. Let's pray. God and Heavenly Father, would you meet us in your word? Lord, what we need this morning is more than an interesting homily. What we need is much greater than an inspirational message. What we need is so much more than to be entertained. Would you give us your very self this morning? As we attend to your word, as we write these prayer cards, as we celebrate a special sacrifice of thanksgiving, Lord, would you give us your very self as we sing that we would know that we have met and are meeting with the living God. We pray this for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This morning, briefly, we're going to look at three things. The what, the who, and the why of Thanksgiving. The what, the who, and the why of Thanksgiving. First of all, the what. Go back with me to verse 7 in Deuteronomy 8, and let's read again. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and figs, trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. It's a beautiful description, and it's a deliberate description. God could have stopped halfway through verse 7. He could have just said, read along with me, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, period. That would have been enough. But God goes on to describe details. The earthy details of this good land. And that's because Christianity is an earthy religion. It's not an empty philosophy. It's not an abstract idea. It's not a party that you affiliate with. Christianity is a religion that's about the soil. It's about the tangible things, about the things that we can see and we can touch. It's a religion that celebrates our bodies. Even when they grow old and wrinkly and sag, they are still beautiful. And here we are reminded in this beginning of Thanksgiving ritual to give thanks for the earthy things, for the pomegranates, for our equivalent of the vines and the fig trees, for the things that we drink and the things that we eat. I love verse 9, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity. This is back before bread was linked to gluten intolerance, okay? Bread without scarcity. God is not just saying, I'll give you enough. I'll give you a land that's efficient and sufficient for your minimum needs. It's a land of feasting. And God gives us these details to remind us that Christianity is an earthly religion. So this week, when you finally get to sit at your Thanksgiving table, take some time to look at that turkey, to look around the room at the people who are gathered. Take some time to survey whatever you have on the table, your green beans or your cranberry sauce or whatever's on there. Take time to look and to touch and to feel, because God has given us these things. They're a gift, a sign of his goodness. And we praise him for these things. That's why Jesus took on flesh. Think about it. God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit could have sat down in the boardroom of heaven and made an executive decision to say, okay, we're going to forgive these people their sins and figure out a way to do it. But God did the unthinkable. God did the unthinkable. He took on temporal flesh. He became like his creation. And it's absurd. In fact, it's so absurd that when the Christian message began to spread in the world, people wouldn't believe it. They were offended. God took on flesh? That's ridiculous. That's absurd. That's obscene. And it is. It is completely, totally ridiculous, absurd, and obscene. But God took on flesh, and in that, he again redeemed the flesh. Our bodies that we struggle with, our bodies are broken. God took on one of those bodies. Christianity is a religion of the earth, of the fleshly, of the things that we can touch. So this Thanksgiving, take some time to look around your room, your silverware. I don't know if you're going to get out some of your fine china, maybe even that wedding china that you barely use. Get it out, even if some of it breaks. Touch and see. That's why we do these prayer cards. And we don't just kind of fill them out and put them in a basket and leave them. We bring them up front. And the elders pray through them and physically hold them. That's why every year at Thanksgiving in the Bluegrass service, we have another tradition. In just a second, okay? Here's the qualification. If you are sitting next to someone that you're close to, okay? If you're not sitting next to someone that you're close to, then you can close your eyes and then visualize someone that you're close to, okay? But in just a second, I'm going to ask you, like we do every year, to reach out and take the hand of the person who is next to you. Hang on. We'll get there in a second, okay? To take their hand, and then you're going to turn, and you're going to look them in the eye, and you're going to say these words. God, because we're talking to him, God, thank you for what you have given me, okay? Now, if you don't know the person next to you, please don't freak them out by grabbing their hand. Okay, that would just be kind of weird and creepy, okay? So don't feel any pressure to grab someone's hand, okay? And if they grab your hand and you don't really know them that well, just roll with it, okay? So you ready? We're going to do this. You know why we do this? Because touching someone is special. So take their hand. Or imagine them in your eyes, in your head, with your eyes closed. Look at them and say, God, thank you for what you have given me. That's the what of Thanksgiving. Christianity is an earthy religion. You can let go hands if you want, okay? Whenever the appropriate moment has passed or time has elapsed where it's you can pull your hand back. Secondly, the who of Thanksgiving is very important. The who of Thanksgiving. Look with me at verse 11. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Thanksgiving is about the story. It's about the events. But Thanksgiving is ultimately about God. That's the who of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, okay, let me push the envelope a little bit here. Thanksgiving is not about your family, okay? It's not. We can make it about our family. You know, parents can get mad when their kids don't come home for Thanksgiving. You know, we can make it about everyone behaving and having a nice family time, kind of the Rockwellian Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's not a worship moment of the family, okay? Family's great. We love them. We like them to be there. Thanksgiving is about God. And here in Deuteronomy 8, we're told, take care lest you forget the Lord. And this is a warning. That phrase there, take care, it's an imperative. It's got an exclamation mark at the end. It's got a kind of a connotation of beware. In fact, when Pharaoh was kicking Moses out, Pharaoh said, use this word. He said, take care to never see my face again. He was communicating to Moses, I see you again, you die. That's the kind of the take care we have here that God is warning us. Take care, lest you forget. In this passage, two times we're told to remember. Three times we're warned about forgetting. We got to remember God. We got to be aware that we have a tendency to forget God, to replace him. We forget God when we forget his commandments. How do we remember God? We tell the story, we give thanks to him, and we remember the commandments. One of those commandments is to give thanks and is to celebrate. Now, what's crazy about this passage is God is speaking to a generation of people who a bunch of them were alive during the plagues as children. A bunch of them as children saw the Red Sea part. And all of them, for the past 40 years have walked in the wilderness and their clothes didn't wear out. Their shoes didn't wear out. God magically provided for them every morning magic bread and then quail to eat. These are the people that God has been providing for daily, and he says, be careful you don't forget. You would think, how on earth? If you saw the parting of the Red Sea, if you saw that as a kid and you saw God, how would you forget God? Well, very, very easily. And that's why the calendar of the people of God was filled with feasts. They were on the calendar. That we would be reminded, that they would be reminded to celebrate and to remember God. This is not, though, just about absent-mindedness. Let's look again at verse 12. Lest, read along with me, please. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and the house of slavery. See, we don't just forget in an absent-minded way. We forget when we replace. Forgetting God is not like showing up at home and having forgotten to pick up the dry cleaning, okay? You know, that's kind of absent-mindedness. You came home with nothing. This forgetting is instead of picking up the ice, the dry cleaning, you go get ice cream instead. It's that kind of forgetting. It's a replacing. And God cautions us to forget, not to forget. To not forget all that he has done and to not forget him. Saw a survey that just came out. I love surveys. If you know me, I love surveys and statistics and numbers. Survey that was taken of 21 to 36-year-olds, asking them about their major life goals. Major life goal. 80% of the 21 to 36-year-olds, 80% said their life goal was to get rich. 80%. 50% said their life goal was to become famous. 50%. Life goal, to become famous. You know what the most critical factor is in happiness and health? The number one most critical factor in happiness and health, confirmed by multiple studies, including kind of the infamous Harvard longevity study. This has been going on for 80 years, where they've tracked 724 men, some who were freshmen at Harvard and some who came from poor parts of Boston, have tracked them and met with them and followed their lives. They concluded the same thing that all other longitudinal studies before them had touched on. The number one key factor to happiness and good health, it's not money. It's certainly not fame. It's not even success. It's friendship. It's the quality of your relationships. The number one factor above race, gender, education. Even for health, you've heard me say before, loneliness is a greater health risk than smoking, than cancer. They're looking at and seeing how many of these diseases are perpetuated or impact more people who are lonely. A European study, you'll love this, a European study done in the UK said that the ideal number of good friendships for happiness was 10. 10 friendships. People that you could talk to about intimate things. If you were married, someone to be a friend would have to be someone, if you were having difficulty in your marriage, you could talk to them. Or you could share something personal with them. And they saw that once you dipped under 5 friends, that you increased your chance of being unhappy by 40%. In the United States, 30 years ago, the average number of friendships that a person had was 3. today, it's less than two. And we wonder why anxiety, stress, addiction, loneliness, and divorce is increasing. This is part of the who of Thanksgiving. We were made for relationship with God. With God. So at Thanksgiving, let's remember to give thanks to God. That's why we do these prayer cards, that we can seriously give thanks to God. We can look at them and actually look at what they say. It says, God and Creator, I am thankful to you for what you've given me. Every year on that list, I write down dark chocolate and good coffee. Those things are awesome. And they bring me great joy, and God gave them. This could be a favorite jacket of yours. It could be your car. I know some of you love your cars. And so don't put down the Sunday school answers here. Write down the things that you're thankful for. Do you love those cowboy boots that you're wearing this morning? Are they special to you? Thank God for them. Thank Him for them. Then on the flip side, it's a little bit kind of awkwardly worded. I thank you for being with me. His presence. Where has He shown up for you? Or what about His character? Is it that has become special to you? That's why this year and every year at Thanksgiving, we got to really try hard to not worship our families, our kids and our parents and our spouses. They cannot bear the full weight of our expectations and needs. And so this Thanksgiving, give thanks for your family, but relieve them from the burden of fulfilling you. Relieve them from the burden of making you happy. Maybe if you're a parent, if you're an older parent, maybe you talk with your adult kids and say, I want you to be happy and I'm proud of you. You don't need to impress me. Because Thanksgiving is a time where we remember God. We remember God. Lastly, why do we do this? Why do we do this? Look at verse 18. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth, that He may confirm His covenant that He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. The Christian practice of Thanksgiving that has been adopted by the United States of America on this last or fourth Thursday in November, this is its origins. And God speaks to us very specifically. Look at halfway through that phrase. That He may confirm His covenant. What does that mean? Well, confirm here means to prove, to settle the fact that it's real, to settle it. To confirm it. And it says covenant. What is His covenant? His covenant was the promise to Abraham, I will be your God, and you will be my people, and I will bless you. And I will bless all nations of the world through you. Thanksgiving is when we remember that God gave us all this stuff, including the ability to get wealth, including our intellect. He gave us that in order to confirm His covenant. That means to remind us that He is good. Do you doubt that God is good? Do you sometimes wonder if He has forgotten you? Do you sometimes kind of conclude that He's pretty much disappointed with you? You know, that's the number one thing that people kind of think God's kind of attitude. When you say, how does God feel about you? Ask people to write it down. On that list, the most common thing is going to be a little bit disappointed. At Thanksgiving, we have this time to remember His grace, that He's given us everything. Everything that we have, He's given us. We haven't earned it. We don't deserve it. He has given it to us. And it's a reminder of His grace, that we are loved by Him and accepted by Him and delighted in by Him, not because we've earned it, but because of His grace. It's undeserved. His mercy and His grace is undeserved. Thanksgiving in North America. Lincoln, 1863, made the decision to make this a national holiday. Now, Thanksgiving celebrations were happening all over the country annually before that. That's why some places in the still rebellious South didn't want to do Lincoln's Thanksgiving and kind of continued their own Thanksgiving dates for a while. But they had those practices because they'd come from Europe. And in Europe, every year at the end of the harvest, they would do a harvest Thanksgiving. Followers of God did that because the Bible told them to do it. They would have a time where they would celebrate the harvest and remember that God had given it to them. And that's what we do here. Each year we celebrate. And as followers of Jesus Christ, we especially celebrate that God has given us these things to remind us of His grace, of His mercy, and of His goodness. If you think or struggle to believe that God likes you, take a good look at that fried or smoked turkey, okay, on Thanksgiving Day. And if the turkey's not that great, you take a look at that chess pie, that chocolate tart. How much does God like you? Dude, have you had chess pie? That's what we're doing in Thanksgiving. We're eating good things. We're feasting because God told us to feast in order to celebrate Him and to remember that He said, I will be your God and you will be my people. Also, that we might be a blessing. Why has God given us this stuff? It's that we might use it to be a blessing. Why has God given us the wealth that we have? The luxury that we have. He's given it not just so that we can have it for ourselves and stroke it and say, look at me, the work of my hands. Look at all the stuff that I have that is mine. That's what the passage is talking about. When we say kind of this is mine, when we hoard, when we save for ourselves, we're saying this is mine. Remember, Deuteronomy said, don't do that. God gave us these things that we might be a blessing. That's why this year at Church of the Redeemer, we're focusing on serving. That we might be a blessing. That we might bless others. That's why we're doing coat drives. That's why some of you this week are going to be serving lunches to people who might be hungry. That's why we do Operation Christmas Child. That's why we do a food drive for the Sandy Springs, a community action center. We do these things to be a blessing. And this year we want to increasingly be a blessing. That this world might know, even if they think Christians are really kind of weird and bizarre and strange. And we are. We're weird and bizarre and strange. That they might also know that Christians are defined by serving. Not serving ourselves. For too long we have been known to be just as self-serving as the rest of the world. And Jesus Christ says, come, pick up my cross and follow me. We look too much to things like our families and our wealth and our possessions and our success to make us happy. And here's the deal. It hasn't. And it won't. And survey after survey after survey after survey says it. We're becoming more unhappy. Even though we have more stuff, we're raising kids who are more unhappy than ever before. Anxious, depressed, stressed, worried, disillusioned. So may God help us this year to keep getting off the success train that we've kind of hitched our wagon to. And say, you know what? That ain't leading to happiness. To know His grace, His mercy, His kindness. And to serve. To not use our freedom to serve ourselves, as the Word tells us. But to serve others. That the love of God and His delight might flow through us. If we're going to get there, we're only going to get there through celebration. So that's why this service is a celebration. We are going to sing. We are going to remember. We're going to open up our voices and praise Him for the goodness of what He has done. For it's in remembering His goodness that we are freed. It's in remembering that we've got so much wonderful, beautiful, good things. It's when our hearts are opened with thanksgiving that we're able to let go and to serve. So right now, if you turn your page with me, we're going to take this time to give thanks to God. A part of that is filling out those prayer cards, but it's talking to God and listing the things that we are thankful for. So let's do that now in our time of silence.